Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Andrew Hunneke. This week's guest is Arkansas Republican Senator John Bozeman, who joins us to talk about the future of the Farm Bill and becoming the chairman of the Senate Ag Committee. But first, here are this week's headlines. Grocery store prices are up by 0.5% due to higher prices for eggs and beef, according to the latest Consumer Price Index. Egg prices have been extremely volatile due to bird flu. They rose by more than 8% last month and are up by more than 37% over the past year. Beef prices were up by more than 3%. The overall index was up by 0.3% last month and is up by nearly 3% from last year. Members of the House are busy picking their leaders for the next Congress, and one of the hottest races involves the Agriculture Committee. The committee's ranking Democrat, David Scott of Georgia, is being challenged by Minnesota Congresswoman Angie Gregg and California Congressman Jim Costa. The winner of the race will lead Democrats as they try to shape the Farm Bill in a Congress that will be controlled by Republicans. House and Senate leaders have been struggling to agree this week on what will be included in a year-end package of legislation that Congress needs to pass by the end of the week. The bill is expected to include a new one-year extension of the 2018 Farm Bill, but lawmakers also have been negotiating over some emergency assistance for farmers as well. John Bozeman is set to take over as chairman of the Senate Ag Committee. We asked him how he plans to operate the committee to ensure a Farm Bill gets passed as soon as possible.
Well, I realize that the Farm Bill is just the most important thing that we're going to be doing short term. Right now, we're in a situation where our farmers' input costs are so high. The cost of production is such that when you pencil it out and you look at what they're going to receive for their crops, it just doesn't pencil out. They're going in the hole. If you're growing something right now, you're losing many, many dollars per acre, $30 to $300 an acre. So we have to do two things. We need to provide some economic relief for our farmers now. But the Farm Bill, what that does is it would take and make it such that the risk management tools that they use when they go down and talk to the bankers and things so they can borrow the money going forward, that it's a floor to manage their risk. And without that, they're going to have trouble getting their loans. So it's just something that has to be done. The farm community is telling us that. The bankers are telling us that, you know, the people that loan them the money. And we're blessed. We've got this great, cheap, safe food supply. But, that just doesn't happen. It takes a lot of work. And that's one of the major things is keeping a healthy farm community. So it's number one.
We know Senator Klobuchar is poised to take over as ranking member of the committee. How will working with her be different than working with Debbie Stabenow?
Well, Senator Stabenow and I have done some really hard things together. We got the Growing Climate Solutions Act passed. That was done with, I can't remember how many votes, but, we had in the 90s. And so you could vote for, you know, Mother's Day and not get any more than that. So we were able to do great things there. We were able to do good things with the child nutrition programs, summer feeding programs. So all of that's really been good. And I've very much enjoyed working with her. Senator Klobuchar is the same type of person. Since she's a doer, she gets things done. She's very well respected in Congress. And she's from a very rural state. You take a couple cities out of play, the rest of the state is very rural and very dependent on agriculture. So I think she's going to be a great partner. Again, I've very much enjoyed working with Senator Stabenow.
There are a lot of big priorities that Republicans are going to be focusing on in the upcoming Congress, trade, the border, taxes, just to name a few. Won't these priorities end up pushing the Farm Bill timeline back?
Well, yes and no. You know, certainly we do have a lot of priorities that have to get done. The Farm Bill is already being pushed back for a year. And so it's just something that simply I have to make the case, the committee has to make the case, the farm community has to make the case that this truly is urgent. And I think the good news is people are understanding that. So there is going to be a lot of competition with other needs, things that we need to do. And two, we can do more than one thing at one time. The schedule that Senator Thune has put out as far as the Senate being in session is very, very ambitious. And so as a result, we're going to be here many, many days, more days than we have them, you know, in the past. And so because of that, like I said, I think we've got the opportunity to get lots of things done.
We'll be right back with more from Senator John Bozeman right after this.
These are the farmers and ranchers who helped build the America we depend on, and Farm Credit is here for them, supporting rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. In good times and bad, we provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural home buyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. We help agricultural producers feed the world. Learn more today.
Think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. A lot of people in the food industry and agriculture are concerned about the impact Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could have on the Trump administration, since he's been highly critical of both the food industry and farming practices. We asked Senator John Bozeman his thoughts on the influence Kennedy will have.
What I'd like to know is really what he really wants to sink his teeth into. You know, he's talked a lot about a whole lot of things. What's he really interested in doing? Where can we find common ground? And some of his ideas are good. Some of them, we'll have to wait and see. You know, maybe some have been misrepresented. But I want to know what he's really wants to focus on and try and find common ground and see what we can do to get things done. And so we'll have to wait. We've got a good process. Members will be visiting individually and then, you know, go through the hearing process, which is pretty intense.
And on the flip side, you have gotten a chance to meet with some of President-elect Trump's nominees, Brooke Rollins for Ag Secretary and Lee Zeldin for EPA Administrator. Are you confident that they're going to be the right advocates for farmers?
I really am. I had met Brooke on occasion, you know, just to say hi, but I didn't really know her. I'd never really had a real intense conversation with her, but I very much enjoyed our talk. She's very excited about, becoming the Secretary of Agriculture. She realizes that it's a great opportunity to help a lot of people. Farm country now is in a difficult situation. So yeah, I'm really excited about her. I think that she's going to do a great job. The other thing that's so important, and this is really important, is that she has the president's ear. And she was with him during the last administration and after the administration. They talk, almost daily. And so this is somebody that the president has a great deal of respect for. I think that also says how important he feels like this position is, how important agriculture is. I think he understands, I understand, that the reason that, that the president was so successful, a lot of that was due to rural America. So for all kinds of reasons, I think she's going to do great. Lee Zeldin at EPA is going to be, just a breath of fresh air. He's a very smart guy that wants to use science and common sense as his guiding light rather than emotion and pressure, from some of these, very liberal outside groups that what farmers need, what America needs, is just some constancy. They need to understand the rules. You can play with bad rules. You can play with good rules. If you know what the rules are, if they're constantly changing, it makes it really difficult. And that's what we've seen with the EPA in the past.
One last question for you on the Farm Bill before we wrap up. What's your message to farmers across the country who've been upset about the recent polarization of Congress and wanted to have a Farm Bill passed before the end of this year?
Well, I know they're concerned, and it's just, it's been just kind of the perfect storm. We've got the, you know, the, with the 2018 Farm Bill, it was a great Farm Bill for 2018. The data that it really came from was 2012 data. The world is totally different now than it was then. The pandemic and inflation changed everything. And so we've got to reset and get a Farm Bill that works for farmers. So I know they've been frustrated, and I've been traveling all over the country, visiting with them, getting input. The good news is all the work that we've done, it doesn't go away. You know, it's still current. It's still, you know, it's still stuff that we need to use to write a new Farm Bill. But my message has been, look, this is a five-year commitment. We don't change Farm Bills. You know, this is a commitment to our farmers for 5 years. They're certainly there. But rather than just doing something, we have to do the right thing. You know, we have to get it right. If not, we're just, you know, making it such that we're committing ourselves to five more years of not being helpful. So it's taken a lot of work, and I think we're in the final stages, and farmers themselves have been a great help in pushing things forward, and I'm counting on them to come through in the next several months, you know, to help us on the Ag Committee get a product that they can be, at the end of the day, very, very proud of.
Senator John Bozeman, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you, as always, for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll be back with our panel discussion, but first, Lydia Johnson has a look at net farm income in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Net farm income is expected to decrease 6.3% to $140 billion in 2024, according to the USDA Economic Research Service. USDA estimates that net cash farm income, which tracks farmers' cash flow more closely, will be about 3.5% lower this year, at $158 billion. However, as you can see on this chart, both net farm income and net cash farm income would be above their inflation-adjusted 20-year average from 2004 to 2023. The overall decline in farm income this year masks the sharp disparities between row crops and livestock and poultry products. Ag committee leaders on both sides of the aisle agree that economic assistance for farmers affected by declining market prices is necessary and are pushing for congressional action during the lame duck session. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Weeds, razor-thin margins, supply chain disruptions. American farmers need innovative solutions to tackle the threats that impact us all. Their yield is their livelihood and the food that feeds our families. That shouldn't be on the line. Which is why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for access to essential crop protection tools, like glyphosate, to keep the future of farming in secure, hardworking hands. Get the facts and see what could be at risk.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where this week's panel is going to focus on the upcoming Farm Bill, some of President-elect Trump's nominees, and the upcoming vote for ranking member in the House Ag Committee. Joined this week by Laura Wood with LWP Consulting and Danielle Beck with Invariant. Thank you both for joining us today. And Laura, I wanted to start with you first on that House Ag ranking member vote. That's going to be happening next week. For our viewers, why is that an important race, and how do you think the winner is going to shape the next Farm Bill?
I think it's important because we see that we're heading for an extension of the Farm Bill. We're going to start new again in the new year. And so there's opportunity to make changes to the policies. And it's a really important position in ag policy, leading the Democrats. Ranking Member Scott's been doing a great job, and two members are challenging him, one from California, Representative Costa, and one from Minnesota, Representative Craig. I think we'll let the Democratic leadership work this out, and I'm sure all three of them can do a good job of, you know, negotiating what has been a challenge because of limited dollars.
And I would like to get both of your thoughts on the next question. Danielle, I'm going to start with you first. You know, Congress is going to transition next year, of course. Do you think they'll have different priorities for the Farm Bill when that happens? And what will the impact of those changes be on the Farm Bill timeline?
We are in for a busy season next year, with Ranking Member Bozeman shifting over to the chairman position. I would anticipate that he will want to make the Farm Bill his own. Meanwhile, House side, Chairman Thompson put in the work. A lot of hours, blood, sweat, tears went into writing that House Farm Bill that was marked up and passed out of committee in May. I would anticipate, though, that there aren't any massive changes to that bill, unless there are spending tweaks that need to be made. I would expect as well that the space between both the House and Senate bills probably isn't that wide. However, Republicans are going to have to navigate sort of the broader dynamics within their own party, right? So spending is going to be a big concern, and how they circle that square remains to be seen. I think we're seeing some challenges play out right now as it pertains to a Farm Bill extension and a CR and disaster funding. But ultimately, I think Bozeman and Thompson are two of the best leaders that could navigate that. So interested to hear Laura's thoughts, though.
Yeah, Laura, go ahead.
Well, I agree with a lot of what you said here. I think that the Farm Bill is basically written on policy changes. There's definitely room to make more, but some of the big issues are showing this is not a completely transformational Farm Bill. It's really trying to figure out how can we keep pace with the cost of inflation and have enough money to write the bill. I think the work going on right now and these last minute negotiations attached to the CR show us that, you know, we have had expensive disasters. We have had a question on what is the right amount of economic aid that's going to come in to play yet this year. And I think that sets the stage for a bigger conversation around Title I and other, you know, farm support payments that, 8 months ago maybe weren't in play.
We'll be back with more of our panel discussion right after this.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Weeds, razor-thin margins, supply chain disruptions. American farmers need innovative solutions to tackle the threats that impact us all. Their yield is their livelihood and the food that feeds our families. That shouldn't be on the line, which is why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for access to essential crop protection tools like glyphosate to keep the future of farming in secure, hardworking hands. Get the facts and see what could be at risk.
Welcome back. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could end up significantly impacting food and ag policy as head of the Department of Health and Human Services. We asked Danielle Beck and Laura Wood about Kennedy's influence on food and ag policy.
You know, the RFK movement, let's call it that, has been a really interesting one to watch, right? Because I think at the end of the day, if you listen to what he's saying, there isn't anybody out there who disagrees with the concept that, Americans' healthcare report card is... there's a lot of room for improvement, right? People should be eating healthier. We, as a country, have a lot of room for growth, right? But how do you get there and what changes need to be made to make that happen? I think ultimately, though, the broader concept of how we make America great again includes agriculture. There's certainly a fit for that. There are a lot of exciting plans to bolster our domestic supply chains, invest, reinvest in domestic manufacturing. At the end of the day, farmers and ranchers are small business owners, and they're the backbone and the heart of this country. And so, Brooke Rollins and RFK are going to have a lot of work to do. Ultimately, though, some of the policy changes that RFK has discussed on the campaign trail, it's going to be up to Congress to decide moving forward. You know, there's only so much that can be done in the regulatory space. And Congress, has the pen when it comes to legislation. And so there's going to be a lot of robust debate. But I think ultimately, stronger leadership within the Trump administration will put us on the right path.
And Laura, your thoughts as well, ma'am.
Yeah, well, President-elect Trump was just at the New York Stock Exchange. And again, RFK Jr. is with him. And I think that he's a trusted advisor. What I see happening is a focus on outcomes. to Danielle's point around our health outcomes per, you know, dollar spent on healthcare and food have a long way to go. And so I think of the Department of Government Efficiency even talking about outcomes. Governor Sanders talked about SNAP and junk food and SNAP. So I think the overlap between incoming Secretary Brooke Rollins' role and HHS should, you know, the confirmations go forward at HHS especially, get to the question on efficiency has to build towards an outcome. For example, in our own ag and food nutrition research, we return $20 to the economy for every dollar spent. In our water quality goals, we know an ounce of provision is worth a pound of cure. So that's the way I'm thinking about how to get to outcomes and what it means to really try and spur the economy in an efficient way.
And Danielle, you mentioned Brooke Rollins, President-elect Trump's nominee to be Ag Secretary. I want to follow up with you on that. What changes would you expect at USDA under her leadership?
I think we can expect USDA to be prioritizing policies that support U.S. farmers and ranchers. And I think we can expect a reinvestment in what makes American agriculture great. You know, if you look at other countries, the United States is falling behind. And so how do we make sure that we are on a path to success moving forward? How do we bolster those U.S. farmers and ranchers, our U.S. agricultural supply chain? And I think there's a suite of different policy provisions and proposals that we could expect coming out of USDA in partnership with the Hill. But ultimately, you know, one thing that I think everybody benefited from under the last Trump administration was a really impressive degree of access and attentiveness to the needs of stakeholders across the country. You know, if you look at all of the different times that Trump had signed different legislation into law, you know, press announcements, anything that involved agriculture, there were always stakeholders behind him at the podium. Even if there were, you know, moments where there was, agree to disagree moment, let's just say, there was always the dialogue and really constructive opportunities to work together. And so I think we can expect another round of that under Rollins' leadership. And it's, I think we're all looking forward to see who a lot of the undersecretaries and leaders that she'll be surrounding herself with are.
Certainly a lot to look forward to on the food and ag policy front as we transition to next year. Danielle, Laura, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse newsmakers, but first, Lydia Johnson has a look at which states are most dependent on ag exports in this week's Map It Out.
President-elect Donald Trump has floated an across-the-board tariff that would increase duties on U.S. imports from every trading partner, alongside specific tariff threats on Chinese, Mexican, and Canadian imports. If enacted, those duties could have immense regional impacts. As you can see on this chart, agriculture exports as a share of total production greatly affect the Midwest. North Dakota, Illinois, and Hawaii are all reliant on export markets for more than 45% of their agriculture revenues. North Dakota exported about 94% of its soybean crop this year to China, and exports to China accounted for about 40% of farm exports in Illinois. These statistics leave Midwest farmers heavily exposed to Beijing's retaliatory tariffs. Beijing added new tariffs to U.S. soybeans, beef, pork, wheat, corn, and sorghum during Trump's first term, resulting in a $27 billion loss in U.S. farm exports, according to the Agriculture Department. Read more in Des Keller and Oliver Ward's trade series on our website. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Congress will be in session for one more week before breaking for the rest of the year. A continuing resolution must be passed by Friday or else the government will shut down. A farm bill extension is likely to be included in that CR. And finally, House Ag Committee Democrats will vote Monday on who will be the next ranking member between Angie Gregg, Jim Costa, and David Scott. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Andrew Honecke. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.